Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, James Proton. Every week I will be sharing the experiences that have defined my journey and talking with people who have their own powerful story to tell. It's about doing better and being better in life, business, and all things in between. The Visually Inclined can catch us on YouTube, or you can check us out on just about every podcast platform. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. We have a great show for you today. Our guest is a friend of mine who I am actually meeting for the first time in person, Rachel Winter. Welcome to the show.
Hi, James. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, you a Pittsburgh girl?
I am. Born and raised in Pittsburgh my whole life. Grew up in a little town called Pleasant Hills, Pennsylvania in the South.
Oh, my goodness. Right? Know it well.
When I was 9 years old, moved to Mars, Pennsylvania, when this is the Mars of the past. This is not the Mars of what it is now.
Right.
Very rural, small town. Now it's a great school district and executive homes. Fast forward to, you know, I live in Pine Township now in the Wexford area. And so I'm a North girl.
You've kind of covered geographically the entire Pittsburgh region.
Yes.
How did that impact you growing up? How did that impact who you've become as a person?
Well, that's an interesting question, and I think how it's impacted me in my work. I want to answer that is that being in advertising, whether it be in sales, I have been in and around all different kinds of areas of Pittsburgh, and I've got to learn about all different kinds of towns and areas and things like that. And so I've really learned to learn so much more about the region and love the region, but. When you talk about growing up, and maybe I'm going all over the place, but growing up in Pleasant Hills in the beautiful suburbs was really great. And it wasn't so much about where I grew up, but it was, I think, how I grew up in, you know, a beautiful, loving family home. You know, my mom was a stay-at-home mom.
Okay.
And my dad was the head of a nonprofit. So at first, he worked for the Girl Scouts of southwestern Pennsylvania and then worked for the Mars Home for Youth, which is why we had to move. But so I got to kind of get the best of both worlds, where I got to learn how to be a good mom because I had a good mom and what that was going to be for me later in life. And two, I learned everything I needed to know about career and networking from my dad. So I kind of got the best of both, and I feel really lucky and fortunate.
Yeah, that's really cool. And you grew up in Pleasant Hills in like the heyday of Century 3 Mall.
That's right. Century 3 Mall was the place. It was the stuff. And then what's funny is when I moved to Mars, that's when Ross Park Mall opened.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's very cool.
All the good shopping.
Yeah, no kidding. So let's talk a little bit about your current gig. You're director of advertising marketing for the Pittsburgh City Paper.
Yep.
I love the publication.
Thank you.
It's really, really cool.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about it and how it is it has grown and kind of evolved.
Yeah, absolutely. So Pittsburgh City Paper is classified as an alternative news weekly.
Okay.
And what that means is every major city across the country has one. It's the free paper that you pick up wherever you are. If you are in Chicago, you're reading the Chicago Reader. If you're in Washington, D.C., it's the Washington City Paper. And, you know, a lot of these companies have started, you know, 20, 30, 50 years ago.
Sure.
And when people say to me today, what you work at Pittsburgh City Paper, oh, do people even read the newspaper anymore? And it's funny, 25,000 people pick up the physical copy every Wednesday when it comes out, right? So that's nothing to sneeze at. But the paper is the smallest thing that we do. And how we are able to survive as an alternative news weekly, and just I think everyone in the media today, is that our brand footprint is so much larger than it has ever been. From, you know, our digital pghcitypaper.com to e-news to social to events. Our big, you know, our biggest event of the year is Best of Pittsburgh. And that's what really City Paper has, you know, is known for. So yes, people read the paper.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they are reading it in so many different forms and in so many different content now. You know, it's funny. Pittsburgh City Paper is the is a project for Point Park University's marketing class this semester, and I know the marketing professor Paige Biel, and she asked me to be the project for this semester. And what's really cool is, so the students are, you know, range from like 18 to 21 in this particular class, And it, before the class, they had no idea what Pittsburgh City Paper was. Okay. Like, no idea. And this was really eye-opening to me. The project was for them to find out what Pittsburgh City Paper was. I go in every month and I talk about, you know, who we are, what we're about, all that kind of stuff. And by the end of the semester, so next week, in fact, they're going to present to me a marketing plan on how to market to the young generation. And once they found out about what Pittsburgh City Paper was, they were like, oh my God, I didn't even realize this was here in this city. All like college students need to know about this because we are the place for arts and culture and events and everything in and around the city, community, activism, everything that young people need to know. And if we can get them now, we'll have them as readers.
Oh, absolutely.
For a long time.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of things that they can find in your paper that they're not going to get in the Post-Gazette.
That's right? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we feel very fortunate. In January of last year, we were acquired by Block Communications out of Toledo, who actually own the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And some people are, you know, kind of funny about that. They're like, oh, you're owned by the Post-Gazette now? How does that work? Because you're two totally different entities. And we are. We just happen to be a company that, a holding company, should I say, that Block Communications owns. So, but what this has given us is the resources to be able to grow and prosper and do what we can do even better.
Sure. Well, that's really cool.
Yeah.
See, we touched on, you came down from the Wexford area.
Yeah.
So I have a morning routine, which is very important to me. And I stick to it. I mean, to the letter. I mean, it's like repetitious every day.
Yes.
Do you have a routine that you do in the morning?
I do. I do have a morning routine. And it's non-negotiables. It's things that I need to do every single morning before I start anything. But, you know, at age 52, I wasn't always like this. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it wasn't until about a year or so ago that I started doing a morning routine and knowing that if I had a really solid morning routine, it was going to set me up for the day.
Yes.
And we've talked about this before. It wasn't until I really learned and embraced self-care of how important that is. And because 30-year-old, 40-year-old Rachel, you know, 30s and 40s Rachel, should I say, was I would wake up in the morning, probably how a lot of people are. You wake up in the morning, maybe you press the snooze button about 10 times, and you're racing to get out of bed, and you're, you know, rushing to go to work, and that's it.
Yep.
Or, you know, trying to get the kids off to school.
Yep.
And meanwhile, you haven't done anything for yourself.
Right.
And what that does is really sets you up for kind of a crappy day. And then you just get into this race of doing it over and over and over again. It wasn't until I learned that whenever you start taking care of you first, that you become a better you become a better friend, a better mom, a better parent, a better coworker, boss, partner.
Absolutely.
All of those things.
Yeah.
So my morning routine is, you know, I wake up and I make my bed. Have to make my bed.
Yeah,
and
I think, do the same thing.
You know, I learned that from my mom, you know, ever since I was 6 years old, ever since, you know, kindergarten or probably even sooner. I can't remember. But we make our beds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that's the first thing that you accomplish every day. It's just like it feels good. I want to.
You start the day with a win.
You start the day with a win. Yeah, yes.
Absolutely.
And you've probably have heard this podcast before. Mel Robbins.
Sure.
She talks about her morning routine. She is great. And her habits. So what I do is one of the things that I've done in the last year is put my phone in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. So I don't have the phone in my room. So whenever the alarm goes off, I have to physically get up and get out of bed. Right. To turn the alarm off. And then guess what? You're up. So you're up. Yep. I already have my exercise clothes there and everything.
Nice.
I get the clothes on. I brush my teeth. And one of the things she talks about is like high-fiving yourself in the mirror. Like, you got this. Like, you got this today.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, you know, cheesy and silly, but it actually kind of
works.
Like,
it
you
works.
Got this, girl. Like,
it
you
works.
Can do, like, you can do this. I did this morning. And so then I go downstairs and I take my vitamin supplements, and I drink my pink drink, and which I'll talk about later.
Yes, I want to touch on that.
Absolutely, absolutely. I read from my gratitude journal, and you know, again, this has been a habit that I've had for the past year. A lot of us, I think, get into the comparing ourselves to the Joneses. Oh, I wish I had a listen. Living in Wexford, everyone's got a bigger house. Everyone has a bigger house, like, and you know, listen, I'm very fortunate to where I, you know, where I live and what I have and where I work. But you can get caught up in all of those things.
Absolutely.
Like, I wish I had this. I wish I had that. Or I can't believe I don't. And it's until you kind of change to, I am so grateful that I have this and this and this. And so I read from my gratitude journal every single morning, all of the, just grateful for all of the things that I have and not focusing on the things that I don't. And then also reading some affirmations about, like, I am. Like, I am a person who, you know, has an emergency savings for, you know, 3 to 6 months. I am a person who, you know, is healthy. I am a person who exercises every day. And so when you start reading that about yourself, you start kind of becoming that person that you want to be. And maybe even you're not that person yet, but you will be.
But it feels good to know that you're going in that direction.
Exactly.
You're becoming. Exactly. Becoming is a wonderful word.
Becoming is a wonderful word.
It's tremendous.
You're right.
And a lot of people get lost along the way because they don't have that discipline. But
it's been a long journey and some, you know, hard roads along the way. I've been married more than once, and I went through a divorce in about 2 years ago, which was kind of a long process, and officially got divorced last fall. But it was through that process that I was able to kind of heal, heal myself. And all of these things that I post online to social, yes, it's to my friends and family.
Right.
But also, it's like it's telling myself every single day. It's giving myself encouragement along the way.
That's why I write the blog every day.
That's right.
You know, I get a lot of positive feedback, and it's very well received, and I'm grateful for that. But I write it for myself.
Yeah.
I don't write it for anybody else.
That's right.
So, but if you read it and get something from it, that's a bonus.
Yeah, and fantastic. Isn't it so great when someone, you know, reaches out to you and says, oh, my God, what you said today really resonated with me. Or because you said this, I'm going to, you know, fill in the blank.
100%.
I mean, feels amazing.
That's why I wrote the book. I mean, And, you know, you mentioned healing and the process of healing. Yeah. And we all go through things. Listen, I've been through divorce, all of that stuff. And but healing's painful.
That's right.
Right? Because you have to relive some things that you really, you know, don't really want to. You know, you have to go back there to heal from.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not an easy trip to take.
That's right. Can we talk about dating? Over 50.
Listen, you...
It's like a whole other podcast.
Listen, I'm way over 50. I'm a lot further from 50 than you are. But where you are, once you hit that 50, right, there's a couple of things that happen. You either really all of a sudden things start to make sense and you really get a strong sense of who you are.
That's right.
And, you know, that journey of self-discovery and self-care comes to you, right?
That's right.
Or you go the other way and just go off the cliff.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Go off
and
the
rails. It's the difference between those two things is you can't see it.
Right.
You know, you can't see where, if you look at somebody, especially in a picture on a dating app or something.
Right, right.
You look at a picture, you don't know what's going on behind that smile.
That's right. No, that's right. And, you know, it's funny. Can I swear on this podcast?
We're not live. Nick will edit it if he thinks it's
okay,
if you go too far.
Like, I'm looking for someone who has their shit together. You know?
Yeah, you can say that.
Can I say that? Okay, I said that. So, like, honestly,
Well, how do you know until you go on some dates?
Right.
You
don't know until you meet someone. And what does that really, you know, there are a lot of people who just don't have their stuff together, even now. And listen, I am not perfect. I am a work in progress. And
we all are.
And yes, and that's okay. And I think when you know that about yourself and that you're just trying to be better, like 1% better maybe every day.
That's all you need.
That's all you need.
Just a little bit this much.
That's all you need. But when someone isn't or doesn't want that, you know, you have to find someone who's going in that same direction.
Well, a scary part of that is, you know, people, once you get to be in your 50s, you know how to hide the stuff you don't want people to see.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know?
Exactly.
And, you know, that's, to me, that's the scary part.
Right.
Because, you know, I look really good on paper. But I'm like, I'm all screwed up. You know, it's like, you know, I wouldn't want my sister to date me. You know, so it's like, don't do that. So tell me about your side hustle.
Yeah. So this happened about 2 years ago. Well, actually, if I could look back, it was my sorority sister, Jen Burns, who Lupinacci, her married name, she introduced me to this pink drink about 5 years ago. And she said, hey, Rachel, I'm, you know, she's a school teacher. And she said, I just got introduced to these gut health products that, you know, are starting to make me feel better. Are you interested? And I'm like, yeah, sure, Jen, I'll listen to, you know, what this is. And so we met and, you know, I bought the products and didn't even really take them. Because it was at a time, 5 years ago, it was at a time in my life where I don't know that I really cared about being better or feeling better or had that in me to really want that. And so it was, you know, every year I would, year after year, should I say, I would see her posting things online, sharing stories about people who were feeling better from the inside out. And, you know, after a while, I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. Because I was, I was a single mom. I wasn't sleeping through the night. I didn't have any energy. I just felt blah. I was just like bloated and puffy and just like feeling like yuck. And I called her up and I said, Jen, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I want to start on these gut health products. What do I have to do?
Sure.
And ever since then, it has been absolutely life changing for me. And I have been able to share what I, you know, this success on the side with, mm-hmm. with others. And it's been so great to, whenever you, you know, one of the things that I absolutely love is that in my work, in my career work, I'm able to, you know, work with businesses to help them increase their brand, sell more tickets to an event, whatever it is that they're looking for, to help them with their advertising and marketing strategy. And I love helping people in that way. I love it whenever I'm able to mentor college students for, you know, during internships or something like that, helping them.
Yeah.
And in the same way, in health and wellness, I'm able to help others feel better and get better in their life, especially as we get older. And it has held myself accountable because I'm able to do it alongside of them. So
It's
really fun. It's really fun.
Do you want to share the product?
Yeah, absolutely. It's called Plexus. The company is Plexus Worldwide. They're out of Arizona. It's a gut health company. And it's great. I drink a pink drink every morning. It's not a meal replacement. It's a prebiotic. And I take two supplements at night, a probiotic. And easy peasy. When I brush my teeth, I take my supplements. And I say this all the time. I will shout it from the rooftops. I feel better at 52. Than I ever have in my 30s and 40s. And I will, you know, I think a lot of people, especially as we age, they just kind of give up. Like, well, I think this is it. And I just want to always say, no matter what it is, whether it's career, love, you know, life, health, like, it's never too late. It's never too late.
You have done it, right? So work-life balance, you know, how do you find that? What do you do? Because, you know, you're full-time, you have a full-time career, you're a single mom, you have two active teenagers, you got this side hustle going on. How do you balance all of that?
Well, it's called...
And find time for you.
The most important thing is I take that time, that, like, hour of time in the morning. And you don't have to... I think a lot of people think, like, oh, I don't have time to exercise. I don't have time to do this. You can't not have time. Like, everybody has... like at least 10 minutes to just get outside or go on the treadmill and walk for 10 minutes or do some jumping. Just do something to get your heart.
Get your body moving.
Body moving every single day. When you get into that routine, you can't stop because you need to have that happen. I just encourage everybody. You need to have 30 minutes or an hour every single morning for yourself because that sets you up for the whole entire day. I wouldn't be able to do the things that I can do now unless I did those things first.
Right.
And a lot of people think self-care is selfish, but it's not. It's
selfless.
Absolutely. It's you have to, like, if you love yourself, you will do that and you need to do that. And like I said, you're a better you for everyone around you.
Do you think you can truly, I think it's on topic, but do you think you can truly love another person? I'm not talking about your child or your parents, but do you think, relationship, do you think you could truly love someone if you don't love yourself first?
No, I don't think you can. And I think that's probably why I have had failed marriages and haven't had luck in relationships in the past. because I haven't loved myself. And it hasn't been until, you know, I love myself now that I'm able to meet wonderful people and, you know, start to have good relationships and mm-hmm. different, in even just different conversations that I never had before.
Right.
Because of this. I'm such a different person because of who I became. And I wish 52-year-old Rachel could tell 30-year-old Rachel, listen, stop doing what you're doing, or at least start. If you started doing this.
Would 30-year-old Rachel have listened?
Probably not. But seriously, if I wish I could have been able to, you know, say to her,
sure,
like, you, maybe your 30s and 40s could have been different, but you know what? I guess I needed to go through those things in my 30s and 40s to get to where I am
I
right
think we
now.
We all did. Yes, I agree with that.
And, you know, Rachel 2.0, I can't wait to see.
So what's the best compliment you've ever gotten in your mind?
Yeah,
professionally or personally?
Yeah, no, it's, for me, it's when people talk to me about how they think my kids are, that they're just well-adjusted and nice and generous and good, and that just means the world to me. It makes my heart just, it's the best thing ever when somebody else tells you that you're a good mom and that you're really doing something good. And I have a great relationship with my ex-husband, their dad, and together we're a family unit. And my kids are well off because of the relationship that we do have. And I encourage everyone, absolutely. And
so important.
I've seen it all, and there's a lot of divorced couples who are raising kids in, mm-hmm. you know, separate ways. And I just don't think that that's good for the kids. You have to put them first. And so when you have that respectful relationship together, the kids see that, number one.
Absolutely.
They need to see that.
In closing, let me ask you this. Rachel 2.0.
Yes.
5 years from now, what does Rachel 2.0 look like?
Yeah, she is still taking care of herself first.
Good.
And she is probably still doing what she's doing in media and expanding on my side hustle, because I'd like to, you know, really, I think it's really important for women especially to have that plan B mm-hmm. to fall back on.
Sure. Sure.
You know, as I increase with, you know, with my career, I want to do more mentoring to college students, whether it be, you know, with internships or other media programs in colleges. I see that in the next 5 years.
Okay.
But just more of what I'm doing now. In a hopefully
more Rachel.
Hopefully with somebody I love. Yes.
I'm certain that you will.
Yeah.
I don't have any doubt of that.
Thank
well, listen,
you.
Thank you so much for coming
thank
on
you.
The show. You see what I did? I clapped.
You clapped Nick's not going to like that.
Is he smiling? Or is he done?
He's not, but he doesn't.
Oh, man. No,
I clapped.
you see, now you're clapping. He won't let me have you back
no,
on.
No, I know.
This is it.
He's going to edit it.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Well, listen, thank you for joining us. And I really want to give you a copy of the book, because I think that, you know, this was the culminate. It's really kind of my journey, you know, mm-hmm. I put it on paper. And I think what we talked about today, it will resonate with you. And I'll be very curious. I want you to read it and get back to me. Let me know what you think.
I can't wait.
Even if you don't like it.
I can't wait. I know that I will.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, James.